Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 20th of November, recording at 8:29 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first the highlights. It's a funny old day here. The Asian stock markets were mostly weak, with Japan taking the really big hit, down over 2.25% on the Nikkei. Some of them were exempt or recovered during the day. For instance, India closing with very modest gains after an earlier sell-off, and the Indonesian stock market pushing ahead once again. Now, the weakness in Japan and much of the rest of Asia, I should also mention that the Shanghai A-Share Index powered ahead again today. But as I was saying, the weakness in Japan and some of the rest of Asia spilled over into Europe in the morning, but then those markets recovered, and I couldn't see anything of great note in all this, except they've been very much in form all along and had been global leaders, so they sort of shrugged off Asia's weakness and pushed higher, most of them closing with modest gains. Wall Street followed that lead, but has given up those gains for the most part, with the Dow got half an hour to go, but down 35 as I speak, nothing significant. And the NASDAQ is actually up a couple of points. Okay, government bonds mostly firm in here today. And quietly firm, I should say. The dollar extremely quiet, up a fraction on the US dollar index. Precious metals, it's been a funny day here for this sector. It was quite strong earlier on and held those gains, particularly platinum, and palladium was also quite steady, but gold and silver gave up. Well, silver gave up all of its gains, closed on the March contract, and it hasn't traded after hours, but it closed officially, at least not so far, closed officially at 1292.2, and had been as high as 318 over, beg your pardon, 1318 overall. And gold is up $1.20 as I speak, and after hours trading 622.90. And oil was weaker again earlier today, although it won't be reflected by the price I'm going to give you because we've had a contract change, 58.88, down 9 cents. Okay, and I think the grains were, grains and beans a little bit better. Industrial metals were, I think, all up on the day, although not, well, some of them were quite good gains, particularly for zinc. Okay, let's go back to these global stock markets now. And my feeling is that the risk of a little bit more lengthy consolidation and therefore a little bit bigger pullback than we have seen really since August is increasing, because markets, a number of markets have been going up for consecutive weeks, and quite a few consecutive weeks, and well, that just can't go on in perpetuity. And while the accelerations are not that great, and dramatic accelerations would certainly be a big danger signal, it would most definitely be an ending of unspecified time duration, but could easily lead to a medium-term correction. But that hasn't happened. Really, we've seen these little orderly consolidations, very small consolidations, and just persistent demand on the upside. Now, a lot of that, I maintain, is due to the fact that so many people had gone away in the summer, or if they were hanging around, the markets just were convinced that we would get an additional sell-off into October, on the premise that a lot of people had said that would be the case, and that that is what has sometimes happened in the past. But it didn't work out that way. Markets were much stronger, as you know, and so a lot of people have been scrambling in, And that money is arguably still fueling many of these stock markets. But at some point, we will reach that changeover period where the money is back in the market, and then we get more of a pullback and more of a consolidation. But you can take my words literally on this. Veteran subscribers will certainly know that. What I'm saying is that I don't think we're going to see another medium-term consolidation anytime soon. In other words, nothing like the shakeout that we saw during May and June, because markets are technically much healthier for the corrections that had occurred. But nothing goes up in a straight line, least of all in markets. So we must bear that in mind. I wouldn't be too aggressive in terms of adding new positions here, but equally, I'm not that tempted to lighten. I may take one or two profits in my trading account, but I'm not really aiming to lighten positions in stock markets generally, and I certainly won't consider it as far as any of my core positions to which I'm only likely to add unless markets do something very silly on the upside. But let's get there before that happens. And meanwhile, all we have is just a little bit overextended condition in the short term. Okay, moving on to the government bonds. As long as the oil price remains relatively weak and people are still focusing on and debating the extent of the U.S. economic slowdown, government bonds should remain reasonably steady. But I maintain overall that government bond prices are in a secular bear market and that the next significant move will be downwards. But again, not while the oil price is so soft, as I just said, and while the U.S. economy is still comparatively soft. And actually, if the weakness in the U.S. economy leads to interest rate hikes in the U.S. sooner rather than later, that would actually benefit bonds in the short term. But my guess is that it would benefit stock markets even more. Okay, looking at currencies, the dollar is not a hard currency, and that's for sure. It's paused here for a while, and that may continue. There may be a few too many bears of the dollar in the short term, just the opposite of when it was up at the top of its range on the US dollar index and near the lower side of its range against the euro a few weeks ago. And then we had people saying that the dollar was, or the euro was at the lower side of its range against the dollar, put it that way. So, in other words, I'm describing the bit of dollar strength that we had a few weeks ago, albeit within ranges. That cover that was created by some short covering on dollar short positions, and people actually had some long trades open, and that left the dollar very vulnerable to the correction that we've now seen. And I think it'll just mess around here a little bit before eventually going lower. I find it difficult to make a case for an appreciating dollar at this stage, although interest rate differentials, which are positive against a number of currencies, will help to cushion the dollar's downside, as has been the case all along. Okay, on to the more interesting areas, I feel, at any rate, and I suspect this is true for a number of subscribers. What about all of these metals, and most particularly the precious metals? Well, the patterns are generally favorable, but I've been talking about crude oil being an important headwind, and that remains the case here today. But the precious metals appear to be under accumulation generally, and I think it's a very, very attractive sector. And the recent weakness that we've seen in the oil complex, I'm talking about the last couple of weeks, has given precious metals an excuse to see bigger corrections than they have seen. They've basically just been ranging sideways, but they have held up tolerably well in here, and I think that's really quite a good omen in terms of what lies ahead. They're inherently steady in here, and I'm quite pleased to hold on to my precious metal position, and just annoyed that I got stopped out of a rather good platinum purchase on Friday. I'm not going to go chasing back in at these levels. Good heavens, it's over $100 higher than where I was stopped out. I still have a little bit of that, fortunately. And stuff happens, as I said on Friday, and that's one time when the safety of the stop really worked against the position. But it's Sod's Law, you know. If I hadn't had the stop, it could have gone down and stayed down. So I'm not too troubled by that. Okay, industrial metals. People are talking them down. They love to talk them down. But gains across the boards in here today. And three of the five are in backwardation. That shows that supplies remain tight. The two exceptions are copper, where the backwardation has been lost, and that's responsible for, it's only a small contango, but nevertheless, it was in a very persistent backwardation for quite a long time, and the disappearance of that backwardation. And if you also look at the stocks that are in the COMEX and LME warehouses, copper stocks have been rising, so that leaves copper more vulnerable, I suspect, than the other industrial metals to a downside correction. But it hasn't broken down here completely. Nevertheless, the top the pattern looks top heavy overall. Some of these others, now the other one, you mentioned the other one that is not in backwardation, and that's aluminium, which is the product. You don't dig it out of the ground, in other words. And the others, though, tin, zinc, lead, nickel, are all in backwardations. And that just, I think, illustrates further that demand for these metals remains very tight relative to the supply available. That's generally a bull point. But to me, the precious metals are by far the more interesting sector here right now. And I just look at these prices for the industrial metals, and I look at them in amazement. And I think I've been, as veteran subscribers will know, I've been one of the bigger bulls around. But I found the strength of these metals absolutely, absolutely astonishing. And I maintain that none of them have seen the highs for this cycle. Some of them will see eventually move to considerably higher levels, but in the short term, I think the risks are more towards some medium-term corrections in addition to what we've already seen. Okay, what about crude oil? Now, contract, we have had a contract change in here, so that's taken the West Texas back up to 58.89. Shows how big these contangos are, so anybody who's long oil at this stage is taking in any kind of leveraged trade, is taking a beating on the contango every month. But overall, if you look at the first month continuation charts, which give the long-term history, these energy contracts continue to range in what I maintain is a probable support building phase prior to an eventual recovery. But I've said that the support building phase could well be lengthy, and I see no reason to change my mind on that. I will add that the majority of bears who are commenting on oil, I regard as a contrary indicator. And just remember, when back in July, when crude oil briefly touched $80 a barrel, there was no shortage of people calling for $100 a barrel, and many of them before year end. I was not among that group, I'm glad to say, because I could see the contrarian implications of all those bulls, but I remain, just so everyone knows exactly what my position is, I remain a very big long-term bull of crude oil, and I think it's cheap down here at today's levels, cheap and support building. But I'm not tempted to buy futures positions here yet because the ranging contango and the sideways ranging activity plus the contango would be expensive. I think I'll wait until some of these contracts have broken out on the upside and then take interest. And I'm going to say I can happily wait for that because the next upward move should be fairly significant. Why will we get another upward move? Because demand continues to rise and the supply won't always be as abundant as it appears to be here today. And grains and beans, they've been consolidating, but this is, and I do think it's not a but, it's an and I think this is prior to another fairly significant move on the upside. The interesting thing is that global stocks of wheat and corn are really quite low compared to recent years, and the prices overall are certainly not expensive historically, rather the opposite, particularly when you adjust them for inflation. So I think that's about it, and Wall Street's improved a little bit, just down 23 on the Dow with about 15 minutes to go. All the very best. Mm-hmm.